At New Life Church, we are committed to expositional preaching, which will go verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and we do our best to present what the Bible means in the context of the passage that we have been learning. And for the past, I can say 1 month, we have started a journey through the book of Exodus, which is the second book in the Bible. And today, we are in chapter 6, where God continues then to respond to Moses with regards to his concern that he presented at the end of chapter 5. Last week, Pastor, and very beautifully, has encouraged us to trust the Lord when our lives present some bitter lemons, yeah? So when lies give you lemons, you don't do lemonade. You trust the Lord. And today we want to go a little deeper in this same topic in a small nuance. Because as hardship comes to our lives, there is a tendency, in the same way we see with Moses, to become discouraged. And hardship in life are inevitable. And they can bring us, as I say, discouragement and diminish also our faith. It takes us from acting as we trust the Lord. Discouragement causes us to quit. This is how we left Moses, as I say, and the people of Israel in chapter 5. But before we go deeper, my prayer this afternoon is that the Lord will restore our confidence in his word and in him for the time of discouragement that we have in life, so that we can be driven by him and his spirit to do his will. And in the passage that we have in front of us, we see that his will is double or twofold. First of all, to lift up the spirit of those that are discouraged, be it among us and even around us in our world of influence, but also to set the captives free in and through the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of the gospel. So this is what we will attempt to do this afternoon. If you stand with me, and we will read chapter 6, verses 1 to 13. That says the word of God. But the Lord said to Moses, "Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand he will send them out, and with a strong hand he will drive them out of his land." God spoke to Moses and said to him, "I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty, but my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land in which they lived as sojourners. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the people of Israel, whom the Egyptians hold as slaves, and I have remembered my covenant. Say therefore to the people of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from slavery to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord, your God, who has brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will bring you into the land that I swore to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you for possession. I am the Lord. Moses spoke thus to the people of Israel, but they did not listen to Moses because of their broken spirit and harsh slavery. So the Lord said to Moses, go in, tell Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, to let the people of Israel go out of his land. But Moses said to the Lord, behold, the people of Israel have not listened to me. How then shall Pharaoh listen to me? For I am of uncircumcised lips. But the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron and gave them a charge about the people of Israel and about Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, to bring the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt. You may be seated. Father, this is your word, which is powerful to destroy any hardened heart. It is powerful to bring us to that point of true repentance. It is powerful enough to open up the eyes of the blind and gives life to those that are lost. We trust in your word and in the power of your word to change circumstances around and to bring us to that point where we know you, not by just hearing about you, but because we have met with you. Show us your ways and exalt our Lord Jesus Christ this afternoon so that your name will be glorified in us and our joy made complete in you. For your name's sake and for the joy of your children, we pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. As we have seen during the last messages, Moses thought that his encounter with Pharaoh would be maybe swift and quick after meeting God in the burning bush, after that long conversation with God. He accepted the mission that God has given him to go as a deliverer of the people of Israel. And at the beginning, we saw that the people of Israel received the message from Moses gladly, and even they worshiped the Lord. And in the first encounter that Moses had with Pharaoh, Pharaoh simply asked, who is the Lord? In chapter 5, verse 2. Because at the mention of the instruction that God has given to Aaron and Moses to communicate to Pharaoh, Pharaoh responded by adding suffering in the life of the people of Israel by removing straw with which they would fabricate the bricks. The people, feeling the burden of the work, they come and they ask Pharaoh for deliverance. And after that, Pharaoh said that you are idle, you are lazy. Go and you need to give us the same coat of the bricks, but without straw. And the people become very burdened in their heart. They met Moses and they said that God judges between you and us because you made us to stink in the sight of Pharaoh and his servant and put a sword in their hands. Moses, hearing what the people said, he comes now to the Lord at the end of chapter 5, and he complains. Moses actually is frustrated. Moses actually is disappointed with God. Moses is discouraged. But he is in the right place, and he is presenting his situation to the right person, as we saw last week. And Moses asks, why have you done evil to these people? Chapter 5, verse 22. He says, why are you not doing anything? Why did you send me here at the first time? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, to do what you have given me to do, he has done evil to these people, and you have not delivered your people at all. Moses is complaining and accusing God. You don't know what you are doing, God. Nothing is happening. He was brutally honest in the way he presented what was going on in his heart. At this point, we can say this is a good attitude for us to have, brothers and sisters. We need to be brutally honest with God when we are discouraged. We need to. We are not saying, and I think, that Moses' attitude actually was sinful. He doubted God. He also complained against God. Maybe he thought that God was not doing anything. And this question prompted this conversation from chapter 6, which is the context of our passage this afternoon. How did God respond to Moses' discouragement? How did he do that? By preaching a sermon to Moses. God brings a message to this person, to this Moses, who is discouraged. And that's the title for the message this afternoon. God's message to the discouraged. In the case on our text is Moses, but maybe you are sitting here with a smile on your face, but still discouraged in the Lord. Therefore, the relevance of this passage for us this afternoon, as we see God dealing with Moses, we can see how he deals with us. And as we see actually the message that God gives to Moses, we can then now learn how to have our spirit lifted up from that discouragement. So God's response to Moses' discouragement by preaching a sermon to him. He delivered a message to Moses. So what is the main idea of God's message, and what is its content? This is my first point this afternoon. What is the main idea of this message that God is preaching or sharing with Moses? Look with me, verse 2. God spoke to Moses, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. If you go then at the end of the sermon, verse 8, you will find the same expression, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. Brothers and sisters, in times of discouragement, we need to know that our God is Yahweh. He is Yahweh. I am Yahweh. This is the main idea of this message. And it is emphasized, as I showed you, from the beginning to the end of the message, but also even in between. Many times, the source of our discouragement is the lack of understanding or undermining the fact that God is Yahweh. When we take this reality, this truth from perspective, discouragement starts taking control of our heart. And this is what Moses needed to understand, and this is also what we need to understand in the times of discouragement. Yahweh, God, our God is Yahweh. And as I said, it is the main idea of this passage reinforced in verse 6. You can look with me there, verse 6. Say therefore to the people of Israel, I am the Lord. You jump also to verse at the end of verse 7, and you will see Moses saying, or God saying to Moses, you shall know that I am the Lord. What does it mean that God is Yahweh? You can remember what we have studied together, because it's not the first time that God is presenting himself and saying that I am the Lord. It echoes his encounter at the burning bush. What does it mean that God is the Lord? He is the sovereign God, the God of history, who has history in his control. Nothing escapes God's control. The Bible says that even the heart of the king is in the hands of God, as living or streams of water, he directs it the way he wants. God is not blind. He is acting. And he presents himself to Moses in this regard, in this form, to start restoring confidence in Moses. He says, I am the Lord. And then he presents some content supporting this argument that I am the Lord. First of all, he tells Moses of the things that he has done in the past. Look to me to verse 3 to verse 4. He said, I am the one that appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, Yahweh, the Lord, I did not make myself known unto them. And Pastor explained that this is not because Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob didn't know God, but they didn't know him profound. They didn't know him deeper in a fuller way, which the events of Exodus will reveal and manifest it, mainly that he is the God that saves his people. And he says, I did establish that covenant with them to give them the land in which they lived as sojourners. God is saying, I have done, I have met, I have proclaimed myself unto them. Brothers and sisters, this is also what God has done in our lives, isn't it? If you always remember, and we try as much as we can to remind you to do this, if you were paying attention to the scripture reading, this is what the psalmist said. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not of his blessings in what God has done for us. When we start remembering God's acts, God's actions, what he has done for us in the past, it brings light to the discontentment that we have in the presence in order for our spirits to be lifted up. You can remember God delivering you from an accident. You can remember even how you were blessed to have given birth to your firstborn. You remember how God has blessed you with wife or with a husband. How you got your first job. How you came to know that there was an opening in Abu Dhabi for you to come into this country and to be blessed. How that conversation with that brother, with that sister, changed completely the course of your life, and today you are a believer. How much more God needs to manifest in your life for you to know that he is Yahweh. remember and count your blessings. It is an antidote against discontentment in our heart. But above everything, look to the cross and remember what he did for us in our Lord Jesus Christ. Even if God would not do anything else, your salvation is secure in our Lord Jesus Christ. And for that, we need to bless God all the days of our lives. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his blessings. And this is what God is saying to Moses. I have done this, remember. But that's not all. God is not only working in the past. He's also working in the present. Look with me in verse 5. He continued, moreover, I have heard the groaning of the people of Israel, whom the Egyptians hold as slaves, and I have remembered my covenant. We see that in the present, God is acting. His ear is open to the groaning of the people of Israel, and for us as well. And he said that I have what? Remember my covenant. And we have been taught that when God said that he is remembering, it's not because he has forgotten, isn't it? It is because he is acting in our own benefit. He is acting in our own benefit. If God was able to remember the covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, how much more he will remember the covenant that we have with him in and through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, God is Yahweh at work in the present days in our lives. In the context, he says, look, I'm not only working in the past, neither working only in the present. I'm working also in the future. Look with me, verse 6 to verse 8. God actually comes and in a sequence, he says what he will do for the people of Israel. You will see that God is repeating himself as we saw this before in the past chapters. And there is an application for us there. If God can repeat these things over and over and over again to Moses, did God not know that he has already spoken these things to Moses? He knows. So much of our Christian life consists of being reminded of the things that we already know. So that we can apply these things to the situations that appears in our lives. God is remembering these words to Moses, pointing him now to the future. 7 times God says that he will do something. 7 times, from verses 6 to verse 8. Look with me in your Bible. He now, to Moses, that he was talking to, he says, therefore, and as we have always learned, we need to know what therefore is therefore. Yeah? So he says, because I am acting, because I have remembered my covenant with Abraham, therefore, because of that, says this to the people of Israel. Say what? I am the Lord. And then start counting. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians first. I will deliver you from slavery to them. Second, and I will redeem you with the outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. Third, I will take you to be my people. Fourth, and I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. Fifth, who has brought you out of the out from under the burdens of Egyptians. I will bring you into the land that I sold to give to Abraham, the sixth time, to Isaac, and to Jacob, seventh time. I will give it to you for a possession. Why? I am Yahweh. God is backing all that he is promising to Moses in his character and his own identity. He said, I will fulfill what I have said. Brothers and sisters, this also introduces us to something that God will speak to us or to Moses and to the Israelite in chapter 19. These seven I will can be separated into three main sections. If you compile and if you see the ones in the first three in verse 6, all of them refer to the liberation. God is setting free the people of Israel. The second section is he is establishing a mutual relationship with the people of Israel. This is in verse 7. And in verse 8, he says, the last I will, he says that he will give the possession. The last two, he will give the land that I saw, and I'll give it as a possession. But for us to understand how these three sections work, turn with me to Exodus 19, and you will understand what I mean there. Exodus 19. Look with me at the second part of verse 3. That says the word of God. Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the people of Israel, verse 4, you yourself have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on the eagle's wing and brought you to myself. We see the deliberation and then God bringing the people to himself to enter into covenant with them, which will happen here in chapter 19. This is now what God is doing. He redeems people to himself and then he gives the promise. I'll continue reading now, verse 5. Now, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasure possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel. God did that with Israel. And the fact is that this is also our experience in our Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, we said at the beginning that as we are studying the book of Exodus, allow your mind or allow in your mind to form these patterns and categories for us to understand our salvation in our Lord Jesus Christ. We were slaves to sin in the same way Israel was slave in Egypt. God sent a deliverer whose name is our Lord Jesus Christ, and he became the lamb by whose blood we have been set free, and now we have been brought into relationship with God. And we are now walking in the desert toward our promised land, the new heavens and the new earth. This is happening to us. And if you are here and you haven't experienced salvation in our Lord Jesus Christ, let me tell you that what God has promised for Israel, that he will deliver them, he has accomplished in our days in our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ came to do the will of God, isn't it? And when he says in Hebrews 10:7 that, "Behold, I have come to do your will as it was written of me in the scroll of the book," he is saying that I came to bring you out of the slavery of your sin. I came to deliver you, and I have accomplished that by dying at the cross of Calvary for you, by being this substitute lamb on the cross for you. And brothers and sisters, if you are here, my friend, if you haven't given your life to Christ, you can experience this freedom from sin. You can experience freedom from the bondage that brings you this discontentment and discouragement in life. The only thing that you need to do is to believe that God has accomplished that in our Lord Jesus Christ. We beseech you, believe in our Lord Jesus Christ today and be set free from the bondage of sin. Be set free from the bondage of sin. So, God says, and he finished his message to Moses, and Moses comes to the people and communicate exactly what God has said. This is my second point this afternoon. Two responses and one charge. When the preaching finished, Moses, let's say next Sunday, he comes to the church and he starts expositionally preaching because he communicates to the people the exact words that God has communicated to him. And this is the good definition of expository preaching or expositional preaching. This is what Moses did. He spoke to the people what God has communicated to him. But look with me, verse 9. What was the response of the people? Verse 9. Moses spoke thus to the people of Israel, but they did not listen to Moses because of their broken spirit and harsh slavery. The people of Israel didn't listen to Moses. And why? The passage is given two reasons. The first one is because they were discouraged. Their broken spirit. They were discouraged. And in their discouragement, they are not giving their ears to the word of God. They are not giving their ears to the very thing that should lift his or their spirit up. And why? Because of harsh slavery. Brothers and sisters, Satan is not in the business of joking around. He is enslaving people in their sin in order for them to be lost for eternity. And in that condition, people cannot save themselves. They cannot set free by themselves from the bondage of sin. They need a deliverer. They need a savior. They need Jesus. And I know that in your world of influence, there are many people that you come in contact day by day that are still in this condition. They need a Savior. They need our Lord Jesus Christ. How are they going to find them? By you communicating God's word unto them. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul is saying that if our gospel is... Let's just turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, quickly. Verse I'll start from verse 3. And he says, Paul is saying it's like this, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I start from verse 3. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Verse 5. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servant, for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of our Lord Jesus Christ. People are not responding to the gospel because they are enslaved by Satan and blinded by him. How are they to be saved? Only if they find our Lord Jesus Christ. How are they to find our Lord Jesus Christ? Only when they hear about what God has done for them in our Lord Jesus Christ. How are they to hear what Jesus Christ has done for them in our Lord Jesus Christ? Only when we proclaim the gospel to them. Are we intentionally doing that? Are we intentionally considering that? Because we will see that this is the charge now that God will give to Moses and Aaron. He says in verse 10 to Moses, go in and tell Pharaoh the king of Egypt, let the people of Israel go out of his land. The second response was the response of Moses. Because of the discouragement, you see there in verse 12, but Moses said to the Lord, behold, the people of Israel have not listened to me. How then shall Pharaoh listen to me? For I am of uncircumcised lips. We say that one of the implications of being discouraged is the willingness to quit, because there is no joy. There is no power in us. There is no joy in Christ in us that will drive us to do what the Lord has given us to do. Moses, again, is presenting, Lord, please, if you can send again, if you remember, he said that I don't know how to speak. And he is bringing the same argument here. Meaning, I want to quit. I want to quit. I am of uncircumcised lips. That's the same argument we saw before in chapter 4. And what was God's response again to Moses? Verse 13, the charge. But the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron and gave them a charge about the people of Israel and about Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt. If you compare this with the beginning of chapter 7, you will understand that the charge is the same. Moses, go, because I have commanded you for you to bring my people out of the land of Egypt. In my authority, in and through my power, but you need to go. Brothers and sisters, this is the same charge that we have today. It's not different. It's not a different charge. For people to come out of that discouragement, for people to have their spirit lifted up, they need to hear the gospel. They need to hear God's word. The only means for us to lift our spirits up, or the spirits of those that are broken in their hearts, and set the captives free, we need the gospel. We need our Lord Jesus Christ. And thank be unto God that he has called us for his glory and by his grace. He reached us in love, in and through our Lord Jesus Christ at the cross. And the same charge that the Lord Jesus Christ has given to his disciples, he has now given unto us. Go therefore and make disciples of every nation by baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I will be with you until the end of the age. Brothers and sisters, this is the same charge that the Lord is giving unto us. If you are here and you feel discouraged and you feel that the Lord is not acting, I hope that his message to Moses has shown you that in our Lord Jesus Christ, he has already acted in your benefit, in your behalf. And that in the midst of your discouragement, look at the cross and allow Christ to be glorified in and through your difficult situation, knowing that he will fulfill all that he has said because he has remembered his covenant that we have with him in our Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, we are safe. And we know where we are going. Let's pray that the Lord will open up our eyes to the beauty of the gospel that has reached us. And let's praise God with all our heart, even as we remember today what Christ has done for us at the cross of Calvary. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful because of the gospel that set us free from the bondage of sin, from the slavery of sin. But just as Moses, often we are discouraged. We think that you are not seeing what is going on in our lives. We think that you are not acting, and we lose our joy because we forget or we take from our mind the fact and the reality that you, O God, you are Yahweh, the covenant-keeping God, that you have acted in our behalf in and through our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, may you restore in us the joy of thy salvation, Lord. May you equip us with your word for us to be this faithful instrument in your hands for the proclamation of the good news about our Lord Jesus Christ in our world of influence. As we go to our workplaces, as we get in touch with people, let not lose the reality that many of them, they are still in their slavery to sin, and that they need a deliverer. They need our Lord Jesus Christ. And you have sent us to that relationship, to that work. Yes, to work, but to be an instrument in your hand so that your light will shine in these lives. Help us to accept your charge this afternoon, Lord, and empower us, equip us, so that we may be faithful unto you. For your name's sake and for the joy of your children, we pray all this in our Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen.